Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Most job boards overwhelm you with tons of wrong resumes. Not smart. ZipRecruiter finds the right people for you and actively invites them to apply. Smart. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Android. And by Grammarly, the communication tool that helps improve your writing for every occasion. Start writing more confidently for work, school, and even on the go. It's a great way to double-check your important papers, documents, and even avoid future typos. Get 20% off Grammarly Premium today at Grammarly.com/Android. And by DigitalOcean, the easiest cloud platform to deploy, manage, and scale applications. Over 150,000 businesses rely on DigitalOcean to remove infrastructure friction and deliver industry-leading price performance. Sign up today and receive a free $100 credit at do.co/Android. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 387, recorded on Tuesday, September 18th, 2018. We're your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
Florence Ion is out. She's not feeling well.
Feeling under the weather, but yeah. We got a great guest today. That's
right. Joining us, first time on the show. We're super psyched to have her. Rose Bahar, AndroidPolice.com, formerly Mobile Syrup. We were talking prior to the show. I think when you and I were discussing bringing you on the show initially, you were with Mobile Syrup, and then you recently made the transition over to Android Police. Welcome to the show, Rose.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I just recently came down to the States from Canada, so it's really exciting, and I love being able to cover it from a U.S. perspective. It's like a whole new world.
So when you move from Canada to the United States, does Mobile Syrup have a policy like, oh, well, you can't write about Canada anymore?
No, they don't have a policy like that. I actually still like contribute to them sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just kind of time for me to try out something different and go a bit of a different direction. And it's just exciting to be able to cover U.S. News from the U.S. So I think that's why I moved to do some different things.
Right on. Well, congratulations. And so far so good. I'm sure, I mean, you couldn't have landed at a better place. And we love Android Police. We talk, you know, have their stories on the show all the time. And of course, a lot of the writers from Android Police on the show as well. So you are part of that list now. So we're super psyched to have you on. Before we kind of jump into things, I thought I put a link next to Ron's name up at the top because Ron met a celebrity this past week. And if you don't follow him on Instagram, then you probably didn't notice that Ron actually met the Chewbacca, the one and only.
I was at work and someone said, "Hey, Chewie's here to see you." And so I had to go. I had to go say hello to Chewie as he was stopping by. He was promoting his latest movie.
Hi, Ron.
Which is exciting. Yeah, exactly.
However Chewbacca would sound. Hi, Ron. Like, hi, Chewie.
I was glad I went to work that day. Little surprises that could turn around every corner. So
No kidding. It's a little intimidating. I ain't gonna lie.
Seeing Chewbacca in person. I'm not short. I mean, I'm at least 5'11", six foot on a good day.
And, that's what I was going to say.
Chewie's got some height, that's for sure. But listen, Chewie's all about Android. He's on board.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know. I can't see Chewie using an iPhone. Actually, they don't have cell phones in a galaxy far away. So
I personally can't see Chewie using a touchscreen phone of any sort, like with his hairy fingers. I just don't think it would work.
Can we go back to that real quickly, Victor? Because I don't often look at the comments actually, but I saw that Robert D. Seals wrote, "Wow, Jason needs a shave."
Jeez, thanks. Thanks, Robert.
And that was pretty funny.
I didn't even notice that. Thanks, Robert. You got my back, and I appreciate it. All right. So just a quick reminder, you can subscribe to the show if you haven't already. It's time that you do so. twit.tv/AAA. Go there, subscribe, and welcome to All About Android in your podcast feed or something, something. It's time, Victor, for the news.
I wish every time I messed up on Android News, I could reach out and change the bumper. But it's nice to know the technology exists.
Reach out and change the... Okay, explain yourself, Victor. I got to know.
Yeah. Well, just to avoid, you know, Ron getting on my case again. Like,
oh!
It'd be nice to
yeah,
change it after the fact.
Yeah, Ron, you're giving Victor a complex.
Yeah.
Oh, because,
you know,
no,
once
no,
I say it, that then it's permanent. So.
Right. All right.
Oh,
well, we love you, Victor.
Oh, we do. I do. I'm a big fan of Victor.
There we go.
Oh, thanks.
So I don't know. Okay. So I have a Pixel 2 XL. Rose, what is your daily driver? What is your phone?
It's a Pixel 2.
Okay.
Pixel 2 XL was too big for my small hands.
I understand. I'm considering the 3 as opposed to the 3 XL. I don't know why. That seems to be the hip thing to do this turn around because everybody hates the bezel or the bucket. Ron, you've got the Pixel 1, right?
I have the Pixel 1 and it crapped out on me.
Oh.
And then I switched to the OnePlus 6.
That's right.
And then the Pixel 1 came back to life. But I stayed on the OnePlus 6
because
I've fallen in love.
All right. So is the Pixel, or sorry, the OnePlus 6 is not on Pi yet, right?
Correct.
Okay. So then you wouldn't have got this. I'm curious to know if you did, Rose. My Pixel definitely got this. There was a battery saver mode that suddenly appeared last week on my phone. And I just kind of thought like, you know, kind of like a butt dial or whatever, like it was in my pocket and there was a phantom touch while I was just living my life and it activated battery saver mode. But apparently, no. Apparently, Google admitted on Reddit that it had made a mistake that said, quote, an internal experiment to test battery saving features was mistakenly rolled out to users, to more users than intended. And then people kind of got all upset about the fact that, hey, wait a minute, what? Google can do this? They can just like remotely activate modes on our phones? That's right. Or some other people would say that's not right. Rose, did this happen to you? And what do you think about it?
It actually, I don't know if it happened to me because what I've been doing lately is leaving my Pixel 2 on battery saver mode constantly because the battery really stinks lately.
So you've been doing this on purpose. So you don't know if Google did it to you or not because you probably already had it on anyways.
And it's too bad because I want to be even more outraged than I already am. But I am pretty outraged.
Okay, explain your outrage. Why are you so outraged?
Well, it's one of those things where people sort of tend to throw their hands in the air and say, well, you know, Google just has a lot of control over my phone. But really, when you purchase a device, you should be able to own it in a real sense. And I think it's a consumer's right to demand in the strictest possible terms that this sort of thing isn't done. And then if it is, that there are consequences. But this was just sort of a whoopsie. Mm-hmm. And it was it's a whoopsie that made a lot of people uncomfortable. I think it made me uncomfortable as well.
I don't know why, but I just kind of assumed that this was possible, which is not to excuse it, or although maybe it sounds like it is. But when it happened, when it happened, I had no idea it was anything other than an accident on my part. But when I found out after the fact that it was an error that, you know, that Google actually did this on multiple phones, like I thought it was kind of weird, but it didn't surprise me, I guess. Like I'm not happy that Google has this ability to remote switch anything on my phone, but I'm not surprised that they do. But it is strange that it was an accident and that happened. What were you going to say, Ron?
I don't understand why people are surprised or you're surprised. It's a connected device running an operating system by one of the largest software companies in the world. I mean, same thing when I open up Skype and then I close it and then it applies a patch. And then I open it up and it looks completely different the next time I do it, right? Because these devices and because the phones are no different than our computers now, and because they're connected to the network and they're handshaking with some mothership, a change can happen. And Rose, I agree with you. I think that's a lot of responsibility that the companies have, and they need to be true to their users and not push something that goes against their will or something like that. But I'd be delusional to think that they didn't have the ability to do this.
Right. But I think there's a difference between like tweaking UI and then actually changing a setting. Like imagine if it was, it's such a slippery slope. Like what if it was airplane mode that they popped on all of a sudden. I mean, I don't know if that is, you know, who knows what actually happened in that room, but there like are pretty serious consequences. And it's one of those things that you don't want to, I don't think you want to be too complacent about it. I mean, it's just always good to keep these companies accountable for what they're doing.
We all know,
like, I wouldn't say I'm surprised. Like, we all know how much power that they have over us and our data, but there's stuff that we can sort of try and demand from them at the very least.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I don't think they should be changing any settings like that at all. But when you think about it, your phone comes with settings set to default. So they've already put settings in place. Right. And so when they do an update, I'm not keeping track of every settings on my phone. That settings screen is it's to the point now where you need to search within settings to find things. Right.
So yeah, that's how I find things now. I just do plug in a search in the search box and settings. But that is a very good point. That's a very valid point, Rose, is like, what if it was do not disturb, and do not disturb suddenly switched on a bunch of phones, you know, and when you're talking the numbers of Android users out there, even a small percentage of those users getting do not disturb turned on for an hour is a huge number of phones. So then you take that huge number of phones, and what is the percentage of those people that within that amount of time got a call or a text message of an urgent matter, a really urgent matter, someone, you know, their kid got into an accident or who knows what it is, and they didn't get the chance to see it because a remote switch was activated, their phone was put into do not disturb mode, and all they saw on their notifications, though they didn't realize it, was absolutely nothing. Like, that's serious consequence if that happened. Yeah. So I get it.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I'm not defending Google, or I'm not saying that this is a major screw up, and I don't want anyone changing the settings on my phone, much less the operating system. But I'm not surprised that it could happen. I'm surprised it took this long for it to happen, to be honest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised either. But I do think there's once you get the settings, I feel as if you then tweak the phone to your liking, and it should essentially stay like that. And everything then should be permissions based. Mm-hmm. And if it's not, then this is a whole different situation. Then I'm going to start to think, okay, well, maybe I should, you know, root my device and then flash it with some other custom software just to make it really mine. And I wonder if other people would also go that route.
Yeah. I am curious to know how many people it actually affected, because I know a lot of the reports that you hear are Pixel devices running Pi, but I think there were also some devices that were running Pi that weren't Pixel devices. So I'm curious to know how complete this actually was, but we may never know. Dun, dun, dun.
All right, Ron.
You got the next one.
Well, moving on to happier news. We often, for the past couple of years, we talked about Android Auto and have you seen it in the world? And is it going to finally break through or whatnot? And to this day, I've yet to see a car with Android Auto running with it. Well, that day may come soon, at least within the next 3 years, because Google has struck a major deal. They've gone into a major deal with Renault, Nissan, Mitsubishi Alliance. I didn't even know Renault, Nissan, and Mitsubishi were in an alliance, but here they are.
Like, so Google Voltron. Has
a deal. Yeah, exactly. Google struck a deal with them to bring Android Auto into bring Android into its next generation infotainment system starting in 2021. The alliance sells more vehicles than any other car maker. 10.6 million vehicles last year globally, which is crazy. No terms of the deal were disclosed. And Google will have access to data from within the car, but only after granted permission by customers. So 10 million cars rolling out of the factory line in 2021 with Android. Will 2021 be too late?
Well,
like, what would the landscape be by 2021?
I mean, that's a good question. I guess we won't know. However, this is a large fleet of vehicles that will be running whatever Google's latest Android for the vehicle will be at 2021. Yeah. So no matter where everything else is, Google's still in a pretty great position with this deal. Also shows that there's more of a trust of these companies to bring in and work within Google's OS layer for cars, which I feel has always been dragging and lacking up until now. So this could be a great sign of things to come. I hope so. But 2021 does seem a little far away. Why? Why that far out?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty huge. I think this puts Google in the lead when it comes to automotive software and thus the data market there, which is like the real gold mine. Because, I mean, we don't see this happening with, you know, obviously iOS. And it's interesting because we were confused at Android Police. We didn't realize what exactly it was at first. Like, is this Android Auto or is this Android right. Automotive? Right. And they eventually told us, oh, it's under the Android Automotive banner, but it is just full out Android running on a car. Hmm. And so then Google gets that data, of course, if you give permission, but it doesn't get the diagnostics data necessarily. That seems to be a separate system from what the Alliance is saying. So, but I think it's just such a massive win for Google, and it just shows like how it's paid off having Android Auto for all of those years and trying to get a foot in the door. Now they've finally made it to this massive, massive deal.
And it's interesting to see what they've learned from Android Auto and what they'll apply to whatever they end up calling this. But also, I'm curious, as an Android phone user, does that mean when the phone talks to the car in a more, you know, in a more seamless kind of way? And the possibilities of this are endless. And I think that's really, it's really interesting. And it should be, with this large number of cars, will the other manufacturers either respond by saying, we've got to have it too, or, hey, Apple, let's put you in our cars to compete?
Yeah, my apologies, Rose, because you wrote about this, actually. So I went ahead and linked in the doc your article on this as well. So, yeah, I'm curious to see. That's an interesting distinction that they make between Android Auto and Android running in the car. That almost makes me feel like it's more like, yes, it's infotainment, but possibly reaches further into all of the other functions of a vehicle, like being the OS for the car.
Or the opposite direction, or being, it does less.
Being less than info. Well, then this wouldn't. I guess if it was less, then it wouldn't seem like nearly that big a deal. If it was less, let's hope it's not less, please.
We'll forget in 4 years.
That's true. 4 years. Yeah, 4 years is a long time in technology years.
We might be able to see some indication of what it might look like through Volvo's native implementation of Android. Mm-hmm. And so that, because that's sort of somewhat along the same lines.
Right.
So that might give us a little bit of an indication, but I haven't heard anybody that's blown away by it. But, you know, I think it's better than the proprietary software, no doubt, that any of these car manufacturers would try to make by themselves.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's see here. Google is updating its sound search functionality. This is the what's that song command that you might utter to your assistant in order to identify a song that's playing in the room. They're updating sound search to utilize some of the same neural network improvements that they used to create the now playing feature. And the now playing feature, if you don't remember, is the feature. I love this feature personally, and I thought it was going to be just a throwaway feature on Android when they introduced it in Oreo, but it's the lock screen song identification that happens kind of passively. It's just always there, identifying whatever song happens to be playing. It shows on the lock screen. It's actually really works very well, and to know that it's all happening on the device is kind of mind-blowing to me. But anyway, sound search obviously happens in the cloud. It happens on servers, and basically that was created prior to Google's neural network efforts that went into the now playing feature. So now, using those external servers, they're kind of bringing that technology into those servers. So what does that mean? That means that even like very obscure titles are going to start becoming identifiable. So if you've ever used the cloud kind of music identification feature and not found a match for something, I'm assuming, Ron, you're probably nodding your head yes, because I'm, you know, like, your musical taste is of the type that isn't going to always be, you know, top 40 completely identifiable, you know, by these systems.
As I'm sitting here in my Bloody Valentine t-shirt.
Yeah.
So yes.
So this is going to enable more identification of songs, and I just think that's a great thing. I know so many times I've tried to identify things and it's just been obscure enough that it kind of passes the filter and doesn't work, and this might improve that. So,
well, this is a fun wow factor functionality. So I'm glad that they're doing that, because that's the kind of thing that when Shazam came out 8 years or 7 years ago, we're like, oh my God, you know, like that's the kind of stuff that makes you feel like you have a magic device.
Yeah.
I love it. It was one of the most like compelling things to me about when the Pixel 2 was announced was now playing.
Yeah.
I remember being at that launch event and being like, this is the coolest thing.
Well, what's weird to me about that functionality is I didn't ever really use the song identification features of Shazam or anything outside of a handful of moments to like test it out. Like I never thought, what is this song? I'm going to sample it and see if I could identify it. However, when it's happening automatically on my lock screen and there's no resistance or no need on my part to get involved in it, like it's just very eye-opening no matter where you go to always know what happens to be playing in the room. Like it's just always there. You look down at the screen and, oh, that's what's playing, you know, even if you hate it. It's just interesting to know. Oh, well, then you know your enemies. And you're like, oh, Justin Bieber. I knew it was you, Justin Bieber.
You know. You never know about Justin Bieber otherwise.
Who? Justin who? I have no idea who you're talking about, Rose. Yes. Okay, we've got an email, Ron.
Is it an email or is it a rant?
It's a rant. It's a solid rant.
I think it falls into the rant category. Yeah. So Matt wrote in ranting, and Matt says, why is it every phone manufacturer is chasing Apple's idiot fantasies and not making unique phones anymore? I want a phone with at least 16 megapixel front camera, laser focus, optical image stabilization, replaceable battery once a year, not once a day, 4,000 milliamp battery, headphone jack, USB-C, front-facing speakers, a freaking bezel so that there's something to hold on to and something to protect the glass, quad HD screen, and for it to be either updated regularly or an unlocked bootloader. I don't care if it's thick and heavy. I'm a big guy, and all my phones get big rubber cases that fit in my big pockets. Why isn't someone making a man phone instead of man bun phones?
Oh, my goodness.
This is This is unhinged. I've described the phone from 2 years ago, but those don't get updated. You can't find a phone made in 2018 with a replaceable battery. The OnePlus 5T and LG V20 were the last ones. All phones are being made disposable, not repairable, and fragile.
Good point.
They've gotten rid of the bezels, and now people have to add doorknobs to the back of their phones so they have something to hold on to.
Good point.
Phones keep getting bigger and thinner, but no normal person is asking for a thinner phone. The only people impressed with real thin phones are tech journalists, and they don't even pay for theirs.
Attacked.
Wow. Matt is bringing the heat. He says, real people are asking for better cameras and bigger batteries. There's no room for a good vibration motor anymore. I feel like an old fart pining for the good old days, but they're has to be more than just me. And you know what, Matt? This sounds like the manifesto of a startup.
Yeah. Man, it's kind of funny that he threw in the vibration motor at the end. He just really went for everything. But
I hadn't considered the haptic aspect of thinner phones, but there's probably some truth to that.
But I think I really agree. I mean, aside from the man bun dig, I think men should just wear their hair however they want to wear it. But I agree. Bigger battery. I even do agree with the bezels point. I actually find it easier to grasp phones with better bezels. And I actually love to like review budget and mid-range Android devices because of their battery life, just to get a break from like top tier battery life, just to go and have like a phone that will actually last for a weekend.
I can't argue. Now here's the thing. I don't disagree with Matt. I mean, I've been on record saying I want a bezel-less phone and I want all this fun stuff because I want the future. But I think if someone took this spec that Matt just ranted about and made a chunky phone with a replaceable battery and all this sort of stuff, I bet you it would sell. I bet you it would sell.
Yeah.
Because there are people who want that. And that audience is being underserved in the marketplace.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's also the question of, aren't there some phones out there that are pretty close to this? I mean, if you look at Asus or Moto in the low end, like there might be things out there already. It's just that they, you know, they have a decent camera. They don't have an amazing camera. I think there's things out there.
I mean, I think that there are phones that kind of fall into this category from a size perspective and having some of these features. My interpretation of what Matt's saying is, like when you get into like the premium spec devices, the things that have it all, you also end up getting into the stylish kind of category of it, style over substance, for, you know, so that the considerations that are made, like, sure, underneath you've got, you know, top of the line specs, processor, RAM, all this kind of stuff. But then they're also paying attention to, yeah, but we want a slim device with minimal bezels, you know, and all these other things. And so it's almost like he wants the tank of a low to mid-range phone that we are used to seeing in that price category, but with everything premium as well from a spec underneath the hood standpoint, and for it to be a premium device, unless I'm misinterpreting it.
Wants it all.
He wants it all.
Is that so hard?
You know what?
Well, have it all.
And that's what sucks, is that we live in a world now where you can't have what you want, which is a bummer. You know, like especially, you know, Jason, you and I, you know, like longtime nerds and computers and stuff like that, you used to be able to build your own computer and you put in the graphic card you wanted and you had all this choice. And, you know, that came from an open architecture environment, at least on the PC side. Right.
Yeah.
And now you look at phones, they're not made to be open. They're not made to be modded. They are disposable. Even on the PC side, you know, yes, there's still a open architecture adaptable. The PC world still does exist. But you walk into a Best Buy, you look at the computers people are buying, they're buying laptops that are not meant to be, you know, maybe you can add more RAM and that's it. Mm-hmm. It's really changing to a more disposable technology environment.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought his point on disposable, not repairable is a really good point. That is the direction that it has gone, for sure.
Yep. Yeah. I definitely sadly mourn the concept of modularity that we kind of gave up on collectively. Project Ara and all that, with you know, just the idea of being able to sort of, like a PC, build your own smartphone, mod it, customize it. And honestly, even though it wasn't really at the same level, Moto Mods actually really enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, it still wasn't, you know, conceptually what he's thinking of.
Sure.
Listen, Rose, I never gave up on that dream.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for someone to pick it up and carry it to the promised land, because I still think a modular phone is as important as a bezel-less phone, is as important as a phone with a Jagunda battery that you can swap out. Like, I want options for customers. I don't want – I mean, Jason, we've been ranting for years about the generic Chinese brick phone, right, that just looks the same. You know, like, we went through all those years of them all looking like an HTC phone for years, and I want to see variation. That's why I love Nextbit, and that's why I like seeing what Razer's doing, and I like seeing what people who are thinking about it differently.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so true.
All right, we'll call him Matt. Get off my lawn, Matt. We'll work.
But sadly, I relate to Matt's tone far more than I want to admit.
Yeah, me too.
When I read it, I was like, man, this is scathing, but it has to be in there. His passion really drives it home. Yeah, and I guarantee you there are plenty of people watching and listening that were like, yes, yes, standing up in their, you know, out of their chair as you read that.
I wish I had like Patton music or something.
Yes.
Well, Ron was reading
ramp up the volume slowly. Well, you can always add that in post if you like.
We won't
stop you, although don't feel like you need to. Let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode of All About Android. This episode is brought to you by Zip Recruiter. There are job sites that make you wait for the right candidates to apply for your job, and that's just not very smart. But you know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/Android, and there you can hire the right person. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It actually finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology is what drives it. It scans thousands of resumes. It identifies people within the system with the right skills, the right education, the experience needed for your job specifically, and then it actively invites them to apply. So all you end up getting are qualified candidates, and fast, and you didn't have to seek them out. They kind of get delivered to you. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And anybody who has a job or has a business, more business, lots of people have jobs, but if you have a business, you know that hiring is one of the more complicated, more difficult things, super time consuming. It pulls you away from the things that are required to keep your business running. So it redirects your attention. And that's just because finding qualified candidates takes a really long time. There's so many applicants out there. There's a lot of noise and you really need to be able to zero in and find them. And that's how ZipRecruiter makes it easy for you to do that. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at our exclusive web address. Just go to ziprecruiter.com/android. And that's right, I said free. You just go to ziprecruiter.com/android. One more time, ziprecruiter.com/android. And you can check it out for yourself and see why ZipRecruiter is so used and so loved by so many businesses all across the world. The smartest way to hire is ZipRecruiter, and check it out for yourself. And we thank ZipRecruiter for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. All right, we got some hardware news, so let's get into it. Before we get into top news,
yeah. Victor, that was a great transition. That was a great job. I just want Victor to know that was good.
Oh, thanks. I get it now. Yeah, thanks.
You're pouring on the praise.
Yes, I value Victor, and I want him to know that. And then every time I see Jeff Kosmicki's great animations, I know that it's Victor pressing the buttons, and I'm appreciative.
Yes, he's the one that pressed the button.
Victor. Thank you, Victor.
There's a bit of tension here, but I can tell it's all love.
I don't know what you're talking about, Rose. It's always like this. Save me. Top news. I think we can all agree this is top news, right? Google, you asked, and finally, Google heard you. Prepare for the long-awaited update to the USB-C headphone adapter for Pixel phones. That's right. 53% lower latency, 38% longer playback time, which means better battery efficiency, basically. Slightly smaller. I know a lot of you have been thinking this adapter is just a little too large. Slightly smaller than the previous dongle. And slightly more expensive, $12 instead of $9. Okay, Ron, you got the next story.
What? We have no witty banter about the dongle?
I think it's a dongle. I just didn't know what to put in the top slot, and so I put it there. I don't know.
Rose, how do you feel? How do you feel about the headphone jack? Where do you stand on that?
You know, I of course I really miss it. I'm wearing wired headphones right now. I guess if you look at the bright side of having the dongle, as some people were in the comments there in that article of our, which is up on Android, please, they said, at least you can improve things like latency with a hardware update where you can't really, or it would be difficult to get much improvement just through a software update. And I think that's really looking at a glass half full kind of perspective for this little piece of news. Right. But for me, I just miss the 3.5-millimeter headphone jack. And I really hope that the Pixel 3 keeps the dongle bundled, unlike what we just saw with Apple taking that the iPhone X's or the new iPhone X's.
By the way, I'm sorry. I know this is all about Android. We don't talk about Apple, but like Apple named the phone the iPhone XS, and like no one is running with that. Like, how is that? Like, I thought it was a joke.
No,
I know, but they want you to say 10, which I totally messed up on just now. Yeah,
but it's the iPhone XS, basically XS, XS, like excessive.
Yeah. Is that the larger one? Is the XS the larger one? I don't know.
I hope so.
I don't even know. So
anyway, I'm sorry.
So Rose, you mentioned the dongle being included in the packaging. If we are to believe the leaks that we saw weeks ago, and there was the one in particular that had the kind of unboxing video where they actually, took it apart and showed you everything inside. It does appear that the dongle is in there. But who knows if we can believe these leaks? Yeah. That's the running question, is whether these are legit or not. So,
that's the big question. A friend of mine slacked me today, and he said, "I can't believe the Pixel 3 is not going to have a notch, but the Pixel 3 XL will have a notch." And I was like, "Dude, they haven't announced anything." I was like, you don't know that for sure, but the leaks do continue.
Yeah.
And in fact, our latest in leak land is that it looks as if a new Google-made smart speaker with a display is going to be announced at the October 9th event. And I can't say this is a surprise. I feel like if we had taken bets as to what was coming, I would have bet on a smart speaker with a display, a Google Home with a display. Yeah. But renders of the new product and its product specs spec sheet have leaked. It is called the Google Home Hub with a 7-inch LCD screen. And the shape of the base resembles the Google Home Max, though it's not clearly not as large. It's got chalk white fabric surrounding the base. And old information said that Google was aiming for a Christmas release with 3 million units to be available for sale. And it's a good bet that this is going to get announced on October 9th. So Jason, if you had to bet, is this a lock for October 9th? Do you think this is what we're going to see? Would you bet against this?
I would bet for it because I think, it's last week I did This Week in Google. Leo's out, so I was hosting that. And Stacey Higginbotham made a really good point. We always refer to this event as the Pixel event. It's actually a made by Google event made by Google, hashtag made by Google. This would kind of fall into that category, right? Like it's not just about phones and a Pixel book. It's about their hardware catalog leading up to Christmas. I would personally guess, and that's all it is a guess. It's not like I have any sources of any kind. I'm going off of the same information that anyone else is, on sites like Android Police and many others. But I would say it's pretty likely. Looks like it.
If only we had someone from Android Police who could give us their opinion.
Oh, that's true. We should call Rose Bahar. Hey, Rose.
Ring, ring.
Nice to see you.
Hello.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's super likely that it'll come. And I think it's really an interesting device. I hope it does, because I really think that like a connected home device with a screen could be just what we're missing in terms of smart home. Like this could really bring smart homes to the next level. I liked the part of that piece, part of the leak was the idea that you could see, for instance, your security camera if you have that in your smart home. Mm-hmm. And you could see that from your kitchen. I mean, I think that's just so cool.
Yeah.
Did you
have a chance at all to check out the JBL smart display, or there was another one? I can't remember who it was.
Was it a Lenovo one? Or
oh, that's right. It was the Lenovo one. The Lenovo smart display is the one that I tested, and by tested, I mean I had it plugged in my home for less than a day before I realized it was a always-on portal into YouTube, and my 5- and 8-year-old daughters could not resist that. So I was like, okay, this device is not for me. I'm sure it is for somebody. It's not for me. But yeah, so there's the Lenovo one, there's the JBL one, and then there would be this. Did you get a chance to play around with either of those?
No, I didn't get a chance to play around with either, but I read about both of them. Yeah. But it's an interesting point that you make about the YouTube. Don't you think it would be the same with this piece of hardware should it come to pass?
Absolutely.
As a parent, I want more control over what it's capable of, just because as a parent, I'm always fighting the irresistible temptation of a touchscreen, which is just kind of – that's the reality nowadays, is that kids are very –
it's a new babysitter.
Yeah, kids are very familiar with touchscreens and all the things that they bring with it, a.k.a. YouTube. And – yeah. That's pretty much what they're going for these days. And this is like an always on portal to that. There's no way to control it as a parent. And I wouldn't be able to use this device in my home until I have that.
Yeah. They should extend Family Link, which is that app and that service that they have for controlling screen time and Google accounts for children and teens.
Yep.
To include, this is looking far in the future, but, to include this sort of device if that was the case. Yeah.
Well, it could be something as simple as just like disable YouTube or disable video. Like I could see, I agree with you. I think the Family Link is a great idea, but I think, just having a simple, what do you want on the screen? Like what apps are acceptable for screen use is a great start.
Right.
Well, that's true.
Well, and you wrote about Family Link as well, Rose. You had the article. I didn't have it in the app section, so I'll just throw it in here because it totally does tie in. I think that's the obvious direction to go is if Family Link is the way that, Google is kind of positioning itself around giving parents control over their kids' devices, that would be the obvious tie-in. But you wrote about FamilyLink, an update, and normally this would go in the app section, but we might as well talk about it now. I think it's interesting because there's a lot of people that are pushing back on this update that Google did. Basically, it allows for parents to disable their kids' phones, right? Yeah. I mean, you could do that with FamilyLink. You can do that through the controls, but this has something to do with Assistant, right?
Well, and the crazy thing is it's including teens. That's the biggest parts that I think is probably a little controversial to some. Well, to teenagers, definitely.
Definitely.
But the idea is that you continue to be able to sort of manage that Google account. The teenager does need to give consent to use FamilyLink for their parents to use it, but then if they make the decision that they don't want their parents to be involved with their account at all, I believe it does disable the phone for 24 hours. That was what I was seeing. So that's kind of
that's the hammer right there.
Yeah, but you know, Google's very happy with it. They think they made the right decision, and I'm sure a lot of parents of teens are quite pleased with it, because that's obviously when you would probably like to be snooping a little bit on what your child's actions on the internet are. So, yeah, but it's interesting, and of course, the Google Assistant aspect as well allows for some like more child appropriate responses, depending on whose voice is asking the question.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Cool.
Yeah. I think give the parents control. Until you're 18, that's the deal. Sorry. Go to your room.
Get off my lawn. Go to your room.
Get off my lawn. Go to your room.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a complicated scenario because so many people, like a lot of the pushback that I was seeing on like tech meme link to the story, and there was some responses from there, and it's just about this idea of like, you know, creating a nanny state for children / conditioning them around surveillance, you know, always active surveillance, and what does that do to kids who, you know, spend so much of their time, like they're surrounded by this technology, it's just a part of their existence. Like it's just complicated. Like how, as a parent, how do you know whether you're going too far? Like you want to make a safe, controlled environment for them, but how do you know you're not doing like this day and age is snooping on their diary? You know, as just as one example, like I don't know the answer. It's confusing. Don't be a parent. It's difficult at times.
Oh, just at times.
Yes. Sometimes more than others, let's say.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah. But anyways, interesting stuff. Okay, so OnePlus. We've got a couple of OnePlus stories, starting with, the company is, you know, you probably noticed they're kind of drumming up support or drumming up kind of anticipation for their upcoming hardware announcement. I don't think we have an actual date yet, but we know this is going to happen in October. OnePlus founder Carl Pei told TechRadar that the next OnePlus handset, so didn't name it, but we all know it's going to be the 6T, will not have the headphone jack. This is the first for OnePlus. They said 59% of its community already owns wireless headphones. Likely many of those are its Bullets wireless headphones, which I've yet to use. I've heard they're really good. 2 years ago, this switch would not have made sense, Carl Pei said, but he said, quote, "We're not doing it for the sake of doing it because everyone else is. Before, it wasn't the right time. Now we have data to back up that it is the right time." He did say that the adapter will be included in the box. So, Rose, there you go. You'll have an adapter if you get this phone. But another one bites the dust as far as the headphone jack is concerned.
Yeah, it does seem like it's the right way to do it if you have to do it. You include the dongle. They also said that the version of Bullets will have a USB-C connector. I think that's really nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is true that most people are now getting wireless headphones partially just because of being pushed into it by this industry shift that's been happening for, you know, a little while by now. So, you know, I'm still sad about it, but I do understand, I think, their business decision on this one.
Yeah. Do you have any Bluetooth headphones that you use with any regularity?
I do. I have a pair of bone conducting aftershocks that I like to wear if I'm like running or exercising at all.
Oh, okay.
And they're super cool. They don't actually fully go in the ear. That's kind of a big issue for me, I will say.
Yes.
It's actually just literally the size of my ear is extremely small. Mm. So finding the correct, like finding a good option for having an in-ear wireless earbud that will stay in nicely, that's always a big consideration for me, which is just this extra level of hassle that I don't want to deal with.
Yeah.
Rose, I'm right there with you. I won't put anything in my ear. I had in-ear headphones and they broke off on the plane as we took off, and I had the little nub stuck in my ear for the entire flight.
No way.
Never again. So like, I always have to go buds, like this kind, you know, where it just stops short of penetration.
So. Completely. That's what I'm talking about, too.
I think, like, well, I have to wear them here. Well, I guess I don't have
to. I won't wear it. I won't wear an IP because of that.
But, I've conditioned my ears for these things. So we're actually going to talk a little bit more about Bluetooth earbuds in the email. But the email comes after this last story that Ron has.
Well, yeah. So OnePlus is taking all that money they're saving from a headphone jack and they're putting it into television.
apparently, what, like TV spots? Promotional?
Actual smart TV.
Oh, okay.
OnePlus is planning to release a smart TV sometime next year. Currently calling it OnePlus TV for now, but of course, you know how OnePlus is and their marketing blunders. They're asking the community to help name the product in its forums. So hopefully, we don't end up with McTV face.
Yes, right.
But no word on whether or not this smart TV is going to be running Android TV or not. They did say the first release would be basic with software updates over following 5 years to bring it up in capability. So they're starting off slow and then easing into it. And they're offering, like I said, to the community to name the new TV set in their forums. So if you feel like naming a TV, head over to the OnePlus.com forums. Over at forums.oneplus.com, and you can get involved in the naming of the OnePlus TV. And this just, I heard this and I was like, oh, this reminds me of Le Echo.
Mm-hmm.
And Le Echo is Le No More, at least in the US. And so I don't know if this is a genius move or a dangerous move.
Yeah, I feel like it's a difficult market to break into. So I hope it's super affordable for because I feel like that's the one entry point.
I have to imagine that it would be.
Yeah. I mean, that's for OnePlus. Like if they can compete with the likes of Vizio and make a sub $300 set with a cool interface. It's an interesting space to get into.
Yeah. And I mean, their design for their phones has always been, you know, people have always really appreciated the level of design that you get at the price point that you get it at. Like, OnePlus is a brand that is synonymous with value, with getting a good piece of hardware for the amount of money that you actually spend and not requiring an insane amount of money. I would expect and I would hope that they would bring that kind of brand commitment that they've made with phones over to TVs, so you would get a less expensive TV that would seem like a good value, that would have a nice design, nice presentation to it, nice technology, and still be, you know, pretty affordable as far as that's concerned. Hopefully they're able to do that.
Yeah.
But it seems like such a switch to go from phones to, all right, now we're doing TVs. Maybe it's not. Maybe that's actually a really easy switch and that's why they're doing it. I don't know. But Le Echo definitely came to mind when I first read this. It's like, oh,
maybe we'll see Essential do this next.
Yeah, right. And you can attach their webcam to the top of your TV, the little module. Okay, we have an email from Paul who says, have you ever heard of voice-controlled Bluetooth earbuds? We have. We just talked about them. He said, I ride a bike and listen to music, radio, Sirius XM, not all at the same time. For me, it would be nice to be able to keep my hands on the handlebars and say pause or next track or stop. Right now, my Jabra Elite 65T Bluetooth 5.0 earbuds, which are the ones that I have, by the way, and I absolutely love them. Paul says, I can tap an earbud and get Google Assistant to lower or raise the volume, which I think you do on this side. But it would be better if the built-in mics were listening all the time and could recognize voice commands. Do you know of any around? Good topic for AAA. We agree, Paul. And actually, you can do this with your 65Ts. There are settings in your Android phone to set this up. So those are the earbuds that I recommend Right now you can get them for $170. I've seen them for sale on sale, like in Amazon at different times, down all the way down to like $130. But they're really great. I find them very comfortable, but they are the kind that go into the ear hole. So if you don't like that, if that feels weird, like, yeah, you get good isolation. So at least there's that. But anyways, on your phone, if you go to settings, apps and notifications, default apps, assist and voice input, you'll find a assist app section with Google there, because Google is your assist app, and a little settings gear. You tap that. You want to make sure that Bluetooth headset is toggled on. You'll also want to go into your Google app and go into the settings, voice, hands-free, and make sure that allow requests with device locked for Bluetooth devices, make sure that that's turned on. You may experience a little bit of extra battery drain as a result of that, but I've had it turned on for as long as I've been using these things. And with that done, you will be able to say, okay, G, and it should register for you, and you should be good to go. So hope that works for you. And I'm pretty certain this works for a lot of other Bluetooth devices. These are settings within Android that to set it up. But yeah, I don't ever do that, but you can use it and see if it helps for you. So
you just don't like doing voice commands that much?
I don't mind doing voice commands. I just never think to do it when I'm listening in my headphones. Yeah. Like whatever reason, like I rarely ever think to do that. I don't know why. Yeah. I do plenty of voice commands with my phone, though. I don't know.
It's hard to train yourself in. Yeah, yeah. It's habits, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, Paul, I hope that helps. And anyone else, I hope that helps you too. Let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode, and then we'll get into some apps news, of which there are a couple of pretty big stories in there. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Grammarly. I'm a huge fan of Grammarly because I'm not always the best at writing, you know, the most grammatically correct emails, let's say. You want to come across as good as you possibly can. That's what Grammarly is all about. For those who don't know yet, Grammarly is the communication tool that can help improve your writing for different occasions. You set it up and it monitors your writing, whether you're doing it, you know, in an email or whether you're doing it on your phone. There are a number of different ways that you can set this up, and it's just kind of always there, actively able to correct your grammar. It's not just spelling. It's you know, grammatical errors that you might make, and a whole bunch more. It's a great way to double check your important papers and documents, even avoid future typos, because as you use it, you start to realize the things that you do often, and then you can correct those. It's all about awareness, and that helps you to become better at this, so that maybe Grammarly doesn't have to help you out at each and every time. They have a free version that'll get you started. It's available cross-platform, so online, desktop, and mobile. Grammarly's premium version allows users to personalize their experience settings to write for different occasions, such as school, work, or creative, and have Grammarly remember new words as well as you go along. In addition to spelling and grammar, Grammarly Premium helps with advanced punctuation, structure, style within context, vocabulary suggestions, conciseness, kind of trimming things down, and readability for different occasions. 85% of surveyed premium users identified themselves as stronger writers, and 76% now find writing more enjoyable, because you can kind of write free flow and then go back and, you know, you see the corrections that it makes, and it obviously it makes you sound smarter. Let's be real. So it's pretty awesome. Go to grammarly.com/android. You'll get 20% off Grammarly Premium today if you do that. That's grammarly.com/android, and check it out for yourself. Like I said, there is a free version to get started, and then you can upgrade to premium if you like what it's doing for you. And we thank Grammarly for their support of All About Android. All right, it's time for some interesting app news right now. And Ron, you got the story that made my heart ache.
Yeah, well, before we get to the bad news, I just want to say I it's so elegant how Victor does the transitions. That's the thing, is that like it's almost like you don't notice them happening. Like they just happen so smoothly. And we're lucky to have Victor. So
best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Victor is blushing right now.
Sadly, Google doesn't feel lucky to have Inbox, as I was inundated with messages a couple of days ago when the announcement that Inbox, Google's kind of sandbox for innovation around email, is being shuttered. It's reaching end of life in next March, so March 2019. And let's be honest, this was the precursor to the current Gmail, as a lot of the inbox magic and kind of wizardry and kind of cool stuff was rolled into the latest Gmail refresh that rolled out on Google Apps these past few months. So a lot of those key features in there, like the snooze function and a lot of the animations and the interface stuff. But no matter which way you slice it, Inbox has been a great place for, you know, kind of a proving ground for ideas. And while it might be sad now, and if you used Inbox as your daily email solution, you're probably sad, but it's Google. They were – so much of their success was based off of Gmail. There'll be a new Inbox, I think, in a year or two. You know, like, just be patient. They're going to reinvent email at some point again, and so just – it'll be fine. But that said, we did get in.
I don't know if I believe you, Rob.
Is this actually an email to us, Jason?
Yeah, this is an email from Dan.
Yeah, so appropriately enough, we got an email about email. Dan Chernikov wrote in and said, I've been using Inbox for my email ever since I managed to snag an invite in the early days of its beta, and I loved it. I tried going back to the stock Gmail app, but I can't stomach it. I was hoping you guys might have a recommendation for an app similar to Inbox that I can use for my mail. So I use both Android and iOS. I got an iPad since it was the most bang for my buck on a tablet. One that supports both would be amazing. The most important features I use are marking things done and having them disappear and snoozing emails for a reminder when it's relevant. And I mean, I off the top of my head, I've got a great recommendation. But I also know that over at Computer World, our good friend, friend of the show, J.R. Raphael, wrote about Google's Inbox assassination.
Yeah, I don't know if this necessarily has any replacement in it. It was just more context, but
But I was getting there. But yeah. my recommendation, and this is just kind of something to show while I talk because I'm tired of my big face. But my recommendation is that if you like some of the functions and you're looking for an app, check out Astro. We've talked about it on the show a bunch. Astro, I think, is a neat approach to email that is different enough from Inbox and from Gmail completely, but has some of the stuff that you liked about Inbox in there. And they have a desktop app. They have a phone app. They don't have a web app. So if you're looking for web access, you're stuck with Gmail. But Astro is a great solution. I know it's both on iOS and Android. So
yeah. I mean, they have a Mac app as well. Web app.
Rose, were you an Inbox user? Or?
I was not, but a lot of people at Android Police, you should have seen the Slack when this news came out. There was some depression, some early signs of depression setting in. Uh-huh. And I know that, you know, there's not actually a good replacement for everything that Inbox offered in Gmail, but really, I don't know. I don't see any other option that is probably as full-bodied and that will have a lot of features that Inbox once had. The snoozing option, I think there's you know, something equivalent in Gmail, right? So,
yep.
And it's not really the same, but Inbox has had such a massive influence on Gmail, so it's probably the closest.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it is sad news.
Mm. Yep. Bummer.
Oh, you know what else? You can turn experimental features on in Gmail and get a little bit more of that flavor of Inbox. That's what I've heard. So you can get a bit more of the, okay, well, we're trying out new things. This is a testing ground, which is, I guess, more similar to Inbox.
I have everything all in place the way I want it in Inbox. And, you know, time and time again, we trust that Google is going to keep its things, and it doesn't.
No, they're not. They're not. I mean, but the thing is, if you'd asked me to bet on Inbox or Gmail, I was going to bet on Gmail every day.
I just didn't think that it was an either or. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah. I mean, no, I'm sorry. But like, Inbox was cool, but from day one, it's appeared to me that this was just purely beta testing the next version of Gmail. That was always what Inbox was going to be.
Mm. Huh.
Yeah.
Well.
So its days were numbered. Like,
I believe from the get-go.
Yeah,
I think from the get-go. That's my. It's easy to say this after it happened, but that's what I mean. I stopped using Inbox. I just use Gmail. It's like that's.
I mean, that's where I'm at right now, where I have to like pull the pull the Band-Aid off, right? Like, do I wait until March and just use Inbox until then, or do I start getting Gmail or whatever my replacement is? Like, I just opened Gmail now, and I just feel like it's, I just don't like it. I don't like it. I like the bundles that happen in Inbox, and I use that all the time, and it's just not the same in Gmail. The bundling isn't
that's,
the same.
That's what I've heard the most about, the bundles.
Yes.
Yeah. That is a challenge. We get a lot of emails, especially through with Android Police. You get a lot of emails. And there's not really a great way of separating those out. I think what I kind of jerry-rigged was like, some don't go straight to my inbox or some are marked as read immediately. Mm-hmm. But that's really not ideal. Yeah. So I can see how that would be a bit frustrating.
Yeah, and I know, like, Cousin of John in chat says, aren't bundles just filters? I don't know, like, they're all similar, I suppose, but the problem is, the real pain point for me is I already have it all set up, and I don't want to start from scratch again. I don't wanna, Google. Don't make me do that, but apparently I have to. Dang it. Okay. A couple of weeks ago, I brought Rootless Launcher into the arena, and it won. And on the week that we announced that it won, it was removed from the Play Store. And now it's back. Yay. Good for you. Vindication feels pretty good. Rootless Launcher back in the Google Play Store, though this time the reason it's even able to go back in the Play Store is because it no longer prompts you to download the Rootless Pixel Bridge. And that's what you need in order to add things like the Google Feed support. So it's a big caveat, sure, but you can install Rootless Launcher and get the launcher without that. You can also go to APK Mirror, which is a good place to find these APKs, a trustable place. It's actually run by the folks at Android Police, and you can find the bridge there. So just look there for Rootless Pixel Bridge. And if you install that, that will bring your feed functionality over. So it'll still work. But basically, the developer can't link to it from the app. That's kind of the rules of the Play Store say that he cannot do that. So if you want that app, you're in luck. You can do that again. So good for you.
There you go. So last week, we talked about the Google Play Points possibly coming out. There was an APK teardown, all that fun stuff. Well, now it's a thing in Japan. So basically, a point will be awarded for every 100 yen, which is around 90 cents, that users spend on apps and games. Those can be used on in-app purchases or converted to Google Play credit. Higher levels are possible as users progress with greater payouts. And it's likely, much like Inbox was for Gmail, that Japan is the testing ground for this and is going to roll out to other regions in the future. Rose, do you think that a loyalty program in the Google Play Store is what we've been missing in our lives?
I'm a pretty big Google Play Store buyer. I have different subscriptions. I buy different apps. I probably spend more than the average person on the Google Play Store. So to me, this is great. This is in Canada, we have this thing called Canadian Tire Money.
What does that mean?
I'm trying to bring this back, but I'm like, I shouldn't have mentioned a Canadian thing. Canadian Tire Money is so popular in Canada. It's this, you know, great reward system before digital reward systems were a thing, where you got physical fake money, and every child in Canada knows what it is, and it's so cool. And maybe one day every child will know about the Google Play Points system. I think it's fun. I think it makes a lot of sense for Google, driving more spending in Google Play. And I personally would look forward to it.
Canadian Tire Money officially. I'd never heard of this before.
Okay, I'd never heard of it either.
So yeah. Canadian it's Tire, the company, Canadian Tire.
That's right.
Canadian Tire Money. I was like, what is Canadian Tire Money? Is this money made out of tires in Canada? But it's a loyalty program operated by the retail chain.
It is. And it looks like real money. And I swear to goodness, it is the most fun thing as a kid and for dads. Dads and kids, that's where Canadian Tire Money is really popular.
So you can go into Canadian Tire with your Canadian Tire Money and buy tires?
You can, yes. Okay. You're making this sound silly, but I'm just trying to understand.
and it actually has value. Well, I guess it has value at Canadian Tire.
But it's all like 5 cents and like 50 cents. It takes a long time to build up that money.
It's a good,
all this to say. Yeah, I'm into it.
Okay.
I'm into this single play point store.
That's just a, that's an angle of Canadian lore that I knew nothing about. I'm happy that I do.
I'm glad we got into that.
Yes, I am too. And finally, YouTube Gaming, that app that apparently no one used, is being killed in the realm of Google killing its apps. This one maybe sounds like a little bit more obvious, though. They're sunsetting it because the functionality is actually being brought into the main site. So it's one of those things that Google also sometimes does where it's like, we've got three things that do the same thing. Let's bring this over into the other obvious thing. So that's what they're doing here. Google admits people didn't really know what the app was actually for or what content it was created to serve. So now YouTube Gaming will appear in YouTube as a tab on the left side of the screen, and the app itself is going away. So I wonder, actually, I wonder if this might someday happen to YouTube Music. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that quote, people didn't know what it was for or what purpose it served, is just so, like, it could speak to so many different apps that Google has, you know. Love Google, but it is just terrible at making unified platforms. It just splinters everything off.
Absolutely.
And I think certainly it's YouTube Music, I think, or, you know, one of them, like Google Play Music, YouTube Music. I'm not sure exactly which one's supposed to go the way of the dodo bird. But
I think Play Music is going away from what I understand.
Yeah, and it's that's just the way of things. And then there's this, you know, the podcast situation actually recently that cropped up where we saw that on top of the different podcast options like Google Podcasts, and the podcast in Google Play Music, there's also now this experimental app called Shortwave, which you guys probably talked about before. But it's just funny to see all these different iterations. And they're like, well, you know, it's this, we're just trying things out. This is a totally different experimental section of Google. But it's, yeah, it's always, you always kind of wish that they could just focus in a little bit more.
Yeah. Or have, yeah, have some sort of like bigger picture idea of unification between all this stuff, because it just it definitely gets to the point to where it feels scattered. It feels as scattered as it actually is. At this point, you think we'd like be used to that, but we're not, as evidenced by Inbox. And I'm going to go ahead and cry about Inbox while Ron, you do the sponsor read.
All right, I'll do the sponsor. Don't cry about Inbox. And you shouldn't cry about hosting and doing awesome development work, because there's a great sponsor like our sponsor, DigitalOcean. And this episode of All About Android is brought to you by DigitalOcean. And DigitalOcean provides the easiest cloud platform to deploy, manage, and scale applications with droplets, virtual machines that are scalable compute platforms with add-on storage, security, and monitoring capabilities. Seriously, if you're looking to do development, you're looking to get up, get started as simple as possible, DigitalOcean is the way to go. You can choose from standard or CPU-optimized droplets and customize from there. And what's great is that if you're doing development, DigitalOcean is designed for developers. The easy-to-use control panel and API lets developers spend more time coding and less time managing their infrastructure. And they've got industry-leading price to performance. You can access the compute resources you need at the lowest rates, saving up to 55% compared to other cloud providers. And you'll always know what you'll pay per month with flat pricing structure across all data center regions. And let me tell you, infrastructure management and hosting and all this stuff has gotten bananas. And DigitalOcean is making it simpler and easier, and you know what you're paying for. In addition, they also include these great services at no additional cost, like a 99.99% uptime SLA, cloud firewalls, monitoring and alerting, full DNS management, global data centers, enterprise SSDs, an easy-to-use API, and over 150,000 businesses, including some of the world's fastest-growing startups, rely on DigitalOcean to remove infrastructure friction and deliver industry-leading price performance. And I'm currently working on a project now, and when we needed to find a place where to put it, we said DigitalOcean. I am a customer of DigitalOcean. They're fantastic. Wouldn't make a different decision if I had to do it all over again. DigitalOcean has been great. We can forget about our infrastructure and just focus on making what we're making, and it's going to be awesome. So listen, if you want to be like me and the thousands of other businesses that are on DigitalOcean, sign up today and receive a free $100 credit at do.co/android. That's do.co/android for a free $100 credit. And we thank DigitalOcean for their support and for being awesome. Thanks, DigitalOcean.
Thank you, DigitalOcean. And now it's time for Victor to shine with the arena bumper.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Before you say anything, I want to say, Ron, you did a really good job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Wow, thanks, Victor. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
I thought you deserved a slow clap, Victor. although there was a little bit of a delay. Just a little bit of a delay.
Yeah, I did that on purpose.
Oh, okay.
You just want to hold it. You want to hold it there. You want to build the anticipation. That's why Victor is such a pro at this.
I know. It's true. It's true. He knows. Last week's poll, twit.to/AAApoll386. That's where you went, hopefully, to place your vote. And looking at the results, yeah, I had a feeling. Tor browser, 52% of the votes. So first place, that was Ron's pick. Well done, Ron. Second place, Alpha Bear 2, which I can't stop playing. I love it. 32% second place. And then third place, Drama Fever. That was Flo's app at 16%. And we have the results. Wade County.
Right here. Wade County came in. Bleak thought Wade County was going to show up. But like a good closer, Wade County pops in the ninth inning and is here in the chat room for those watching live. You can follow along in the chat room. Wade County gives us the results after 37 weeks. The guests have got 104 points with that first place win. And I knew the Tor browser was going to be a win. I'm sorry. I knew it was a ringer.
Yeah.
I got 94 points. Jason, you are in second place, still holding strong with 89 points. Oh, and wow. Flo is down in the basement with 80 points. And her not being here, that's sure not going to help things. But Rose, this is very exciting because you are in first place as a member of the guest team. And so anything you do today can just help the guest effort. So we're very excited that you're going to be here.
Awesome.
No extra pressure.
But that said, Jason is our local loser, even though you didn't lose last week. But since Flo's not, yeah, so yeah. But you go first.
You're not a loser, though. No, it's okay. Yep. I'll admit it. I'm a returning loser.
Yeah.
My app this week is one that I've been holding on to for a while. I'm not really quite sure why, but it's actually I like it a lot. If you like radio, you know, to tune into radio from all over the world, I just like the interface of Radiogram, and actually, it is completely ad free. So there are no ads in the experience. They have it posted as unreleased. So it's in the Play Store as that. And I'm not really entirely sure why. But they say it's in development. So you can install the app and use it and provide feedback. And that would definitely be very useful to the developer. But Radiogram is the name of the app. We'll go ahead and launch it here. And you can kind of see what I like about the interface is it kind of has a... you know, kind of a modern material design flow to it. Kind of something that you're used to seeing at this point. Up here in this little find the station area, if you have a station you want to search for specifically, you can do that. But you can also kind of narrow it down to a particular region. So if I wanted to just find radio stations in Mexico, there we go. I've got a nice little carousel of the top stations that would be found in Mexico. Let's go to France. Sure, why not? Hey, France. What do you know? Here are all of the radio stations in France.
And I
like the layout of it. You've got all the different categories of different radio stations that fall within. And, you know, you can just dive right in. These are all the hip-hop stations, the French hip-hop stations. It's pretty straightforward. Like I said, it's an ad-free experience. So you're not going to get any advertisements playing within. You're not going to get any ads appearing in the UI itself. And you can, you know, track your recently played, anything that you've added. You can follow certain stations if you like. There's something like, I remember when I was a kid, I had a shortwave radio and it was cool to like tune into, you know, different places around the country. Like I remember one time I was able to hear, tune into something from Canada, actually, because Idaho's, you know, right near, Boise wasn't too far. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but it felt like I was reaching into another world when I was a kid, being able to hear from some area that was outside of my state and outside of my country, actually. So when I play with apps like this, it kind of gives me the same feeling. Like I could listen to the rock radio station in Australia somewhere. And I don't know. It's just kind of cool that you can kind of jump in and do that. And it's designed really well to boot. It makes a lot of sense how it's laid out and how it's structured. Here, we'll go ahead and go to Australian Sports Radio.
How much for those who don't swim or swim competitively? How much
yeah. I don't know what they're talking about, but sounds awesome. Pretty awesome to me. Anyways, it's called Radiogram, and it's designed pretty, you know, pretty nicely and thoughtfully. And I think the developer would probably appreciate your feedback if you want to install it, use it, and send them feedback on the experience, so they can get that unreleased tag off of the posting in the Play Store. So check it out. It's called Radiogram. All right. So, Rose, I have yours installed. You actually wrote about this app on Android yeah. Police. I will go ahead and launch it and try and show it off while you talk about it.
Amazing. Okay. So mine is a paid app. It's a dollar, but I really think I've got a winner here. It's really, really cool. So this actually kind of taps into some of what we talked about at the beginning of the show with Google changing settings. Well, you can't really do anything about that. But with Bouncer, you can control the permissions you're granting third-party apps really closely. So if you're a little bit paranoid about what any number of apps are doing on your phone with permissions like camera or location, well, never fear, because what Bouncer does is it gives apps only temporary access to, say, camera or location or any permission, and then switches it off as soon as you leave the app, which is really cool. And it sounds a bit like magic, but basically what they're doing is they're using Android's accessibility API, which is how they're able to do that. And though Google doesn't really condone using the accessibility API for apps that don't directly relate to helping people with disabilities use smartphones, it has said that it'll make some exceptions for innovative apps. And I think this is very innovative. I think it's now up on APK Mirror as well. But it's made by Sam Rustin, who you might remember him as the same guy who made Weather Timeline, which is a very popular Material Design Award-winning weather app, but was sadly just pulled from the Play Store because he couldn't afford it. So help Sam Rustin out and download this app. And I think you'll probably just really enjoy it if you're somebody who's a little bit concerned with privacy of their data. So, which is a really big topic right now and something that I think a lot of people would be glad to do something about. So that is Bouncer.
Yeah, and I found the app in my app tray that is the perfect kind of example of this, which is the Fortnite installer, right? Because you can't get that right through the Play Store. You have to go to their site in order to do it, and they had big news shortly after the installer was released about how the initial version of the installer was not – God, I can't remember this. Seems like so long ago, but it was only a couple of weeks ago. But anyways, it was treating – the download improperly, to where another app on the phone could actually intercept that permission and put some sort of file on your phone if run concurrently with it. And so that needed to be updated. So you might not want to keep these permissions always open for the Fortnite installer. This would be one way to do that. So then when I run this and I see Fortnite installer here, I just tap that and remove the permission?
Right. I mean, you remove it, but when you go into the app, it'll enable it temporarily. Oh. So really, you don't have to worry about anything. It keeps everything really simple. It's so you can be a little bit paranoid, but you can be paranoid in a lazy way, which isn't that just the best?
So update. Fortnite installer granted storage. Would you like to remove it when you press home? Oh, and that's what it does. Right. So then once you press home, It automatically kicks it out. That's really cool. That's really neat. So that is Bouncer. It's 99 cents to get the app. And so basically it's running in the background. And then anytime you install something, it asks you at that point, do you want this? And the minute you exit, it will remove that permission. That's really handy, I have to say.
It's pretty cool, huh?
Very. You're like, pretty cool, huh? Yeah.
I'm trying I'm gonna to win.
No, it's very cool. Very cool. All right. So that's Bouncer, 99 cents. Check it out for yourself. Temporary app permissions. All right, and finally, Ron, you've got to follow that up.
Yeah, well, I'm going to follow it up and with a little bit of fun. I mean, last week the Tor browser is pretty heavy, you know. So this week I wanted to go in the fun direction, and luckily I had a little angel on my shoulder right there in the Twit studio. Actually, my good friend Burke turned me on to this new game he's been playing, and I started playing, and I'm like, you know, this is a lot of fun. That Burke's got good taste.
Totally.
That Burke's got good taste. It is called Odd Man. And it is a lot of fun where you can find out who the odd man out is. Basically, it's a physics-based mini fighter game where you just swipe left and right, and the trick is to knock the other people off your little island. And when they fall in the water, they get eaten by piranhas. And it's a lot of fun. You get different island shapes, so there's different physics to it. And then there's also different things on the island. Sometimes there's a bomb. Sometimes there's other little weapons and things like that. But what's also cool is that you can unlock. You can, of course, you can win and unlock different fighters. So if you hit pause there, Jason, if you got a nice little run going on here, you're pretty good at this. If you hit pause, can we go back? Actually, can you start die? Can you die?
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna sacrifice you. All right. So there on the right side, you see you got some point stuff and you got some cool things. And if you tap on the little guy on the left there, or I think it's on the blue. It's hard to see on the screen. I got to see it on my thing. I'm sorry. Hang on a second. So if you tap on the left side right there, that's your guy. You see an ad, which is cool.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Close your video. Forfeit your reward. and there, if you hit that guy, at least for me, it unlocks, changes who I'm playing as.
No, I need to wait 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, just don't do it. So you can change, and there's different characters that give you different results and different tools and things like that. Like I've got a nice little darker colored character that's got weapons, and they've got different little skills to them. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a good while you're on your commute on the train or whatnot. You can just fight different guys. There you go. You can choose your different belts. That's how you progress. You get different rewards based on how your progress is. And the whole point is to get to the championship belt all the way at the top. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. Odd Man. It's by what's the name of the developer? Setsnail. Really good. Really impressed by it. So good job, Burke.
It is very addicting. Oh.
What's also cool, by the way, which we can't get into this, but it does have a local multiplayer mode where if you're with someone who also has the game, you can play each other, which is super cool. Nice. Super, super cool. Yeah.
That's so. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So this is the point where I awkwardly talk about things until I hit enter on the poll thing so that it's published. And I think that I have done that now. Okay. Go to twit.to/AAApoll387 and place your vote. We'll go ahead and put Odd Man away. It's still playing music at me. Twit.to/AAApoll387 and you can place your vote for your favorite app. Is it Radiogram? Is it Bouncer? Or Odd Man? We cover the gamut with today's apps. Victor's hovering. I have a feeling Odd Man. I knew it, Victor. You're still being all nice to Ron right now.
Yeah.
You're a good guy. You're a good guy.
And Bouncer's looking good right out of the gate as well. Place your votes. We'll check in on it next week and see where they land. And I think that is about it. Rose, this is a lot of fun. We have to have you back. It was a great time.
Thank you so much. I had such a good time.
Right.
And you
on.
Know what? The vibe in this in this show is so great. Everybody's so supportive of each other.
It's now just, what I about some it. Of the other podcasts you've done? Is this different from what you're used to?
Well, I've never been in a podcast where everybody has complimented each other profusely.
But Rose, I don't know if you realize how well of a job both Victor and Jason do. I mean, every week it is a delight. The show operates like clockwork. It is a well-oiled machine. Jason has laid down the groundwork. Victor takes the ball and runs with it. I couldn't be happier to be part of this family.
Ron is so okay. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Ron's all right, I guess.
Yeah.
Victor, hey. Yeah. We do pour an uncomfortable amount of praise on each other, I would agree. But Rose, thank you. We really appreciate you taking time to join us tonight. Tell people where you want them to follow all the work that you're doing online.
Well, I am at Rose Behar on Twitter, spelled B-E-H-A-R. And you can see my work mostly on Android Police. You can see it occasionally, every once in a while, still on Mobile Syrup, and a lot of backlogs, and probably elsewhere in the future as well. But those are the main spots. And thank you guys so much for having me on. It was such a pleasure.
You bet. We'll be in touch. We'll bring you back. We'd love to have you on again. Thank you, Rose. And Ron, what about you?
Yeah,
I hear you've got something in the cooker.
I said last week I had something to announce, and it's not just me posing with Chewbacca, but I actually launched a new podcast today.
Nice.
Yeah. So last night was the Emmys, and the fall TV series is getting underway. Fall TV season is getting underway. And so no better time for me to launch my new podcast I've been working on for the past year or so. It's called Finale, and you can go to finalepodcast.com. And the premise is that I watch a lot of TV, and Carrie, my co-host, doesn't. And so we watch the season or series finale of a television show that she has never seen before that I watched the entire run. And then, we discuss. And then ultimately it comes to is the show worth Carrie's time to watch it or not. So the first episode is Gilmore Girls. We had a great time chatting about the and this is the pre-Netflix Gilmore Girls. This is the series finale when it ended on the CW. So if you're into that sort of thing, go to finalepodcast.com. You can subscribe. We're on Pocket Casts. We're on Google Play, Stitcher. Hopefully everywhere you find podcasts there. Or you can go listen to it on the site at finalepodcast.com. Go follow us on Twitter, Facebook, all the fun stuff. New podcast. We're going to be out every week on Tuesdays, so I'll be promoting it here. But hopefully if you like TV as much as we do, you'll enjoy this. And we had a lot of fun talking about the Gilmore Girls. So Finale Podcast. Check it out.
That is a really cool concept. Bringing someone in who's never seen the finale of a show and you have. Yeah. So, but that puts a lot of pressure on you. Like, you've seen that many full runs of TV shows enough to know, like, from the finale to be able to talk about it at length.
I don't know what's more amazing, the number of shows I've seen at full runs that I could talk about the series at length, or the number of shows she hasn't seen. She's been living in a closet for a
Well, then that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Right on. Congratulations.
Check it out. Thanks. Yeah. Right,
we'll check it out.
Yeah.
And that is finalepodcast.com. Victor, once again, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks. Like I said, this is like the best episode ever.
This is the actual moment of the show where we heap praise on Victor. Normally, it doesn't happen throughout the episode. Normally, it happens right here. I feel like I'm just telling you something you've already heard before, but you're great. thanks again, Victor.
I just want to say I do welcome Ron's critiques of my Android bumpers.
Yeah.
And like kind of like today's, I was waiting for his critique because I don't think mine came off into the first story like I was hoping it would.
You learn, you grow.
Yeah.
You know, these make us better people, Victor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It makes us better. Ron's criticisms make us better people. I know it well.
love you guys. I really do love you guys. This is not no sarcasm.
All right. You can find me all across the network doing all the shows. Leo is back this weekend. So in the meantime, I'm covering for him on Security Now, This Week in Google, this weekend on the new Screensavers, and then he's back on Sunday. So, and then next week, I actually start my own season, if you will, of Know How. And so we're going to have more information on that later this week as we lead up to that. So tune into that or check it out, twit.tv/KH. A big thanks to Ed from Jersey here sitting in the studio, making us feel all important. He was able to come in and watch the show live, sitting right over there. You can do that if you email tickets at twit.tv and you can watch us live and make us feel important. But that's it for this week. This week's show, leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email, AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have the Arena apps list. Every app that we've ever featured in the Arena can be found at twit.to/Android apps. And big thanks to the folks that make that happen each and every week. Really, the one place that you want to go to find all the information about this show, twit.tv/AAA. That's the show landing page on the web. You can find the information to subscribe, information on when we record live, which is Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific. And everything you need is on that page. But that is it for this week's episode. We hope Florence will be back and feeling better next week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Bye.